It's hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK at 11:45 in honor of this being our 420th show. Wednesday power rankings take aim at our all-time favorite stoners. Tinder time is at 11:30. Wags, what is the headline for today?
Astros lock up one of their big sluggers.
And in mere minutes, we continue taking a look at the NCAA tourney and separately, the Longhorn basketball team. I'm Trey Elling. Brad Kellner is across from me. Adam Wagner behind the glass. Text us. The Specs text line is 337-3776. Give us a follow on Twitter as well. At Brad Kellner, at Not the Fake Wags, and at Courtesy Wave BK.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to separate Texas basketball from the NCAA tournament.
Yes, we do.
How's your NIT bracket looking? How'd you do last night? A lot of first-round matchups. Anyone watching that besides me? I guess people might be watching.
I watched the Texas game.
Texas, yeah. Anyone watching the other NIT matchups?
Begrudgingly watched the Texas game because the baseball game was out of hand, but that was the only one. Actually, I tuned in to the end of, what was the game on before Texas? NC State?
Yes, they played last night.
So tell me who won in the NIT last night to where I can cross my NIT bracket out.
We doing a wager on this? We do need to come up with some sort of bet payoff for this midday program for the actual NCAA tournament bracket. Now, of course, all of ours are going to be on hornfm.com, which yours should be too. You can sign up until tomorrow. We bet with Tom McKay. It was us four. It's like $50 each.
Yeah.
And of course I won. I mean, I don't lose bets
on
this show.
Tom took it down.
No, don't be ridiculous. How dare you doubt me? Kidding me.
True. I'll scold myself later.
NIT, yeah. NC State got the win. Uh-oh. Man, I had Steph Curry and Davidson in the finals, and they lost last night.
Yeah, I had them losing next round.
So Lipscomb, God, they were killing them. What happened?
Said NC State. I have NC State making it to the final. To the championship game, I have NC State making it to.
Go Hoosiers.
My bracket took some hits last night. Yeah, I chose St. Francis, PA to beat Indiana. It was close for a while, but they lost. UNC Greensboro got the win.
I have Indy winning. I have UNC Greensboro winning.
Clemson got a win last night.
Clemson winning.
Penny Hardaway got a victory last night.
Memphis winning.
You chose all the favorites. Congrats. Arkansas beat Providence, which does not bode too well for me. I did choose the Friars.
The Friars making it to whatever the third round is.
Ooh, I had a bad night. Colorado beat Dayton, and Sister Jean lost in round one to Creighton.
I had Creighton winning, and I had Dayton winning, too. I did not go chalk.
I had two Final Four losers last night, almost a third with Texas, but thankfully the Horns moved on, so my champion of my NIT bracket is still alive. But, yeah, I had Sister Jean and Steph Curry both making it to the Final Four. They lost last night in the first round. All right, the real tournament starts. How's your bracket looking for the real tournament? Have you filled this thing out? Are you finalized? Do we know what we're doing?
I have not actually filled the bracket out yet, but looking at matchups and considering how I think these things are going to go, I have a pretty good idea of what my Final Four is going to end up as.
Okay.
How about you?
I haven't filled it out yet?
No.
I've got like 20 sheets of paper right here. I'm looking at one bracket right now that I don't love a whole lot. I'm still feeling confident. I'm not going to change my championship game. I mean, it's going to be Duke and Carolina.
That's where I am right now, too.
And I think history isn't going to let that happen. Not history. I just think the basketball gods aren't going to reward us this year with something like that, because that's what everybody wants. I mean, unless it's your favorite team, if you could choose one matchup in college basketball to play for the national title, it would be Duke and Carolina. Those two teams have never met in the NCAA tournament. They played three times this year. Zion only played in the third one, which was a classic in the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. Carolina's won the other two. That would be a lot of fun if we did get to see that. So that's probably going to end up being my finals, but how
we
get
there. I have Duke winning that game, too.
Duke over Carolina. Duke's your champion. Well, congrats. Way to go out on a limb there. You know, you and 50% of the country with Duke winning it all.
That's why it's about the first and second round matchups as much as anything else.
I told you, man, the number one overall seed has only won it three times in the last 15 years. Last year, the number one overall seed lost to a 16. I'm not expecting Duke to lose to the winner of NC Central and North Dakota State, but
that bracket does have North Carolina winning it all, so you are sticking to the guns that you are espousing on the air.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to change the Duke-UNC championship game. I just think those are the two best teams in college basketball. Now, do the best teams always win this tournament? Not even close. Not even close.
That's what makes the tournament so great.
Absolutely. So a couple other random nuggets to try to help you fill this thing out. I'm not sure a whole lot of people have Villanova winning the title this year, but we have not had a repeat champion since 2007 when Florida won in back-to-back years. How about this? Since Florida won back-to-back titles in 07, Trey, we have not had a defending champ get to the Elite Eight, let alone win a title. So if you're high on Villanova, if you think they can make a little bit of a run, recent history would tell you, don't put them past the Sweet 16.
Wait, what's that about?
I don't know.
Just lots of turnover on rosters from year to year?
When Villanova won its first title 3 years ago, they were a one seed, the number one overall one seed, and they lost to Wisconsin in the 8-9 game. So generally repeat the winners from previous years do not bode too well. I mentioned yesterday or a couple of days ago, 14 over 3. We don't see that very often. Three seeds win 85% of the all-time meetings against 14 seeds. But the 14 seeds have given Big 12 teams a little bit of trouble over the last few years. Matter of fact, the last three number three seeds to lose in the first round all came from the Big 12, with West Virginia in 2016 losing to Stephen F. Austin, and then Baylor and Iowa State both lost as three seeds in 2015. So maybe Texas Tech on upset alert when they play Northern Kentucky. How about this, Trey? The 13-4 upset, usually it's 5-12 is when you see people trying to go out on a limb, and they'll make those bracket picks. I mean, with good reason. We see those happen all the time. 24 of the last 34 years, we have seen at least one 13 seed beat a 4 seed. Last year, we saw it twice. Buffalo killed Arizona, and Marshall knocked off Wichita State. Matter of fact, the other two 4 seeds only won by a combined 4 points against the 13 seeds. So last year, that was the scariest scenario. So your 4 seeds, KU, K-State, Virginia Tech, and Florida State.
And Kansas is a very fashionable pick for the 4 seed to go down. I don't know if I believe that one. I think Kansas makes it through at least the first round game. If you had to pick a 4 seed to lose on Thursday or Friday, who is it going to be for you? Kansas, it's Kansas State for me.
It's one of the two Kansas teams.
There's no question now for Kansas State, and I'm going to encourage all of you. I'm not going to be strong in my opinions for most of the games going on in this tournament because I just don't care enough about the sport in 2019. But mark my words, Kansas State is not winning that game on Thursday or Friday.
Mark your words.
Mark it. Mark the tape.
They're not beating UC Irvine. Anteaters?
Kansas State is a very average basketball team without Dean Wade, and he is not going to be playing for the Wildcats the rest of the way. His career is now done in Manhattan.
Hey, they went to the Elite Eight without Dean Wade last year, bro.
They did. They had him a little bit for their first round matchup, though, if I'm, maybe I'm mistaken about that. They were lacking him for a good chunk of that run, but I think he is that, I think he is that much more valuable to them this year. And we've seen the difference in what they are with him versus without him in conference play. I think that carries over now to the tournament.
UC Irvine went 30-5 this year, winning the Big West. And they beat Texas A&M earlier this year at Aggieland. So they've got at least one pretty decent win. Oh, Aggies are not very good at basketball. Sorry, I tried to give you guys a compliment. I couldn't do it. The 5-12, everyone's favorite. There's only been five times since 1985 in which at least one 12 seed hasn't pulled off the 12-5 upset. But two of those five have occurred in the last 4 years, including last year. We saw all four 5 seeds beat the 12. Overall, fives are 65% against the 12 seeds. There's actually been some 12s who are favored in matchups against 5 in recent history. That is not the case this year. Trey, do you like any of those 12-5 matchups? Your 5 seeds are Mississippi State, Marquette, Auburn, and Wisconsin. Could you see any of those teams going down in round one?
Our buddy Sam Panayotovic seemed pretty high on Liberty upsetting Virginia Tech. Liberty upsetting Mississippi State. Thank you for that.
That's got to be their school fight song at this point, right? I don't care what the hell it was before, but they were given a gift by Liberty Mutual.
It should be. I have no faith in Oregon or any Pac-12 school winning a tournament game other than maybe Arizona State winning tonight, but even then I'm probably, if I had to pick, I would go with St. John's. So I don't think Oregon is going to beat Wisconsin, despite the fact that this is not a great shooting Wisconsin team. Auburn is going to take care of business versus New Mexico State. They've been playing great basketball down the stretch. And Marquette, Murray State, maybe. Marquette lost 9 games, albeit in a better conference. You know what? That's probably the upset that I'm going with there is Murray State over Marquette.
It's your second best player in the tournament will be in that game. And John Morant from Murray State.
From Murray State,
a guy who's, if you look at NBA mock drafts, projected to go in the top three. But him against Marcus Howard from Marquette, a guy who scored 50 points in the game this year.
Yo.
That's a very, very exciting matchup.
How about you for the five
seeds?
Yeah,
I'm leaning Murray State as well, and I hate that that's such a popular pick right now.
I think
you and I have a very similar thought on upsets, whether it's in March Madness or any sport, any time of the year. When the entire betting public is seemingly on a certain team to pull off an upset, it just feels like it doesn't happen more often than not.
Agreed.
It just scares me a little bit. So a lot of folks are on Murray State because of Morant, and just they're a pretty good team in general. They went 27-4 this year. But I like that. I also could see Liberty beating Mississippi State.
Hmm.
I don't know as much about Liberty as I do most of the teams in this tournament. I just don't think Mississippi State is that good.
I think
they're a little bit overseeded as a five, so I could definitely see that one going on. And then Oregon, Wisconsin... I'm back and forth on that because Oregon's been playing some of the best college basketball in the country, but they were doing it against Pac-12 teams. So what does that mean? Is that even an accomplishment, being the best Pac-12 team? Wisconsin generally fares pretty well in the tournament, too.
Yeah.
I don't think this year's Wisconsin team is very good, but that's one I'm back and forth on. I gotta do a little bit more insight and research on that one.
Here's the thing. If Oregon is going to pull off that upset, BK, according to those who have watched them this year, and especially since they have been playing better basketball, they have a lockdown half-court defense. So if Wisconsin is forced to work for good shots inside the three-point line because they're not great shooters this year, that plays right into Oregon's hands to force them into playing to their weakness on that end of the floor. So if Oregon can do that and Wisconsin is what their typical selves have been this year, and that is missing outside shots, then Oregon very well could pull off that upset.
Trey, what is the saying? Orange is the new black, or 40 is the new 30? God, I'm not cultured. Are those right? Are those anywhere close to right?
Yeah. Orange is the new black is a popular women's prison show on Netflix, and 40 is the new 30. That was the old saying. Now
okay.
It's 50 is the new 30.
And 50 is the new, we've changed.
Eventually it's going to be 60 is the new 30. And at some point we'll circle all the way back around to where 30
is
the new
30.
Well, eventually, I'm sure by the time
the new 30,
my daughter...
13 going on 30?
I'm sure by the time my daughter turns 10 in 6 years, it will be 10 is the new 30.
Interesting. That means she's going to be able to like drink and drive and do things at the age of 10.
She already thinks she's capable of a lot of adulting right now, and she's not.
Well, Trey, 6v11 is the new 5v12. There's your March Madness pop culture bit.
Well done.
How about this? I'm not sure it is, but thank you for being nice.
It was.
From 1985 to 2009, so 25 years of tournament play, 6 seeds beat 11 seeds 69% of the time. Nice. But in the last 9 years, 2010.
Go ahead and fire it.
Nice.
There you go. Oh, I thought you were going to go with the Billy Madison 69.
Ooh, we need to make that a drop if it's not one already. In the past 9 years, though, Trey, since 2010, 6 seeds have won only 44% of the matchups against 11.
Wow.
So 11 seeds have taken care of business. The last 3 years... 11 seeds have won 8 of the 12 matchups over the 6 seed. So maybe lay off your 5-12 hoopla a little bit and not focus so much about trying to pick all these 5-12s. Maybe look more at the 6-11 matchups.
And that plays into something you talked about last segment or a couple segments ago, BK, about the team that isn't the 16 seed game that plays in the play-in game on Wednesday night tends to win that next matchup in the true first round of the tournament. So Arizona State, St. John's play tonight. The winner of that game takes the 11 seed to face off against Buffalo. Buffalo's a team that a lot of people are high on,
too. I know. Buffalo's really good. I think they're underseeded. I think they should be a five.
If I'm picking an 11 over 6, and I think I actually have two in my sights right now, no, it's just one. I think Belmont ends up beating Maryland, but I don't think St. Mary's beats Villanova. Jay Wright is too good of a coach, and St. Mary's, before they won their conference tournament, was not even going to make it into the big dance. And I like how Iowa State is playing right now as well. I do not see Ohio State beating them. And I have a hard time seeing Arizona State or St. John's beating Buffalo, too.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, I'm looking at that Belmont-Maryland game a lot. That's another one of those pretty trendy upset picks
Damn
right
it,
there.
Don't tell me that.
St. Mary's Villanova is interesting. I'm with you on Jay Wright. That guy's won two of the last three national titles. But St. Mary's does defend the three line really, really well. And Villanova shoots more threes than anybody in the country.
Okay.
You can live and die by the three. And like Villanova, this ain't your older brother's Villanova squad. You know, I mean, they don't have the talent that they did either of the years that they won the title. Iowa State is intriguing to me. I don't see a scenario which they lose to Ohio State. I think Ohio State sucks. But they do get Caleb Wesson back, who was suspended for the Big 10 tournament.
Mm.
And every year I pick Iowa State to go far, to make a run. And every year it comes back to bite me. Even with Hoiberg as the coach, they would lose before they were supposed to in the tournament. So I have a beating Ohio State, but looking at that Houston game, I know a lot of folks are picking Iowa State to beat Houston in round two. I think Houston could be susceptible to a loss, but Iowa State just finds ways to lose. They're so inconsistent. I know they're playing great basketball with what they did in the Big 12 tournament, but I don't know. I'm skeptical on that one. Like, something tells me I should be picking Ohio State to pull off that upset.
Now, this is assuming that Houston gets past Georgia State.
Are you not assuming that Houston gets past Georgia State?
I think a 3 goes down to a 14
this
year.
That would be your 1?
I don't know.
Okay. I would, I think Purdue is the worst of the 3 seeds. I think the nerds of Yale are the best of the 14 seeds. I gave you the stat about how Big 12 teams suck against 14 seeds in the history of the tournament. That would be something. I mean, we saw Georgia State. They beat, who did they beat a couple years ago as a 14 seed? Was it Baylor?
It may have been.
Yale beat, I don't know. Georgia State upset somebody as a very low seed. Remember when the coach fell out of his chair? RJ Hunter hit that crazy shot. So there you go, some random news and nuggets for you. And how about this? Pick one double-digit seed to move on to weekend two. 32 of the last 34 years, there has been at least one double-digit seed make it to the Sweet 16. So I know that's a little bit scary because if you pick a double-digit seed and they lose in round one, that kind of screws up your bracket. But more often than not, I mean, that's 90-plus percent of times, there's at least one 10 seed or lower who makes it to the Sweet 16. Matter of fact, the most often occurrence since 1985 when the field expanded to 64, Trey, there have been 12 times in which three double-digit seeds have made it to the Sweet 16. That's happened more than any other number. So maybe throw a couple of teams of double-digit seeds in your Sweet 16 you're looking for that.
I've got my one. Do you have your one?
I might have a couple.
Okay.
Who's your one?
My one for sure, and there are others that I'm seeing on this list that are under consideration right now, but the one that I have for sure making it to that second weekend is Belmont. I think that they beat Maryland as the 11 seed over the 6, and either beat LSU or Yale. And I'm seriously considering taking Yale right now over LSU. I probably won't when it's all said and done, but I do not believe LSU makes it past the second round without their coach.
God, LSU is such a conundrum with that team. I mean, they've got enough talent to beat Duke or Michigan State in that region. They really do. But without Will Wade, the only time we've seen them without their coach, they lost to the 8-seed Florida in the SEC tournament. They're pretty sporadic. They're pretty young. They're pretty inexperienced. And if they don't have their head coach, that has been. I mean, that line's only 7 for that game. Like, the betting public is swaying towards Yale a little bit. Maybe not to pull off the upset, but at least make things interesting down the stretch. Plus, the nerds have generally fared pretty well in the tournament, the Ivy League kids. So that's one to look out for.
It's also tempting to take Murray State as well, considering, like you said, they have the second-best player in college basketball. And we've seen time and time again individuals carry those second-level teams deeper into the tournament than a lot of people thought would happen. We saw it with Steph Curry, with Davidson back in the day. Wally Szczerbiak did it with Miami of Ohio. There are numerous examples over time. Perhaps this is the latest example with Murray State.
Boy, that would be something. That would be good for college basketball if that guy in Murray State made a run. And how about this for you chalkers out there? One seeds since 1979, we started seeding this NCAA tournament, Trey. There has only been one occurrence in which all four number one seeds have made it to the Final Four. Can you guess which year that was?
I feel like it was a couple years ago.
It's in the 2000s, a little more than a couple of years ago, but it's not old.
2008.
Good guess. Dead on. The year Kansas won the national title in San Antonio. There were four one seeds in the Final Four. There's only been four times since 1979 in which three number one seeds have made it to the Final Four. It's usually one or two. 32 times of the 40, over the last 40 years of the tournament, there's been either one or two number one seeds make it to the Final Four. So I would encourage you, trying to help you out here on your bracket, I'm being nice this year. It's 420 on this show, 1 month away from the real 420, which just happens to be over the Jewish holiday of Passover, where I can't eat bread for 8 days. That's going to be an unfortunate combination of things. I'm trying to help you out this year. So if you're thinking 3 or 4 1 seeds is the right move, history would tell you it's not. There's a little bit less chalk than you might think.
You have UNC and Duke playing in the championship game. So between Virginia and Gonzaga, which of those two 1 seeds loses first?
I could see either of them losing first. I don't have either of them in the Final Four, and I think that's going to remain the case. Things get hectic in Virginia's bracket every year. I mentioned it earlier this week. The last 5 years, the highest seed to come out of Virginia's region has been a 7 seed. I don't know why. Wherever the Cavaliers, wherever the Hoos are scheduled, wherever they're placed, craziness happens in that region. But I'm high on the Zags. I could see them losing to Syracuse in round two. I don't think I could see Virginia losing to Ole Miss or Oklahoma. I don't think they're going to lose to another 16 seed. Call me crazy for not predicting that to happen 2 years in a row. But, yeah, one of those two teams. I don't think I have either of them making it to the Final Four.
All right.
All right, so there you go. You're welcome, people. Some random tips, some trends, some tidbits, some strategies to help you fill out your bracket. Hopefully you do so. Go to hornfm.com, free to enter, and the winner gets 500 bones. $500, cold, hard cash. Sign up, compete against all of us, compete against your friends, and make it happen. You got to turn them in by tomorrow morning. Let's take a break. When we come back, our man Wags will lead us through Tinder time. We'll talk a little bit more Texas basketball, and coming up in about 20 minutes, our Wednesday power rankings, the best stoners in the history of history. It's all coming up, midday with Trey and BK on the Horn.
Continuing with the weed-themed music today on episode 420 of Midday with Trey and BK. Hey, if you're out and about this afternoon from 1 to 3, anywhere close to La Frontera Boulevard in Round Rock, stop by the 7-Eleven there to say hello to Rod Babers. It's actually the grand opening of the 7-Eleven at La Frontera Boulevard in Round Rock. Say hi to Rod as the Rodcast goes on from that 7-Eleven from 1 to 3. And also keep in mind that any 7-Eleven fresh sandwiches can be bought for only $1 with the 7 Rewards program. Any registered member of 7 Rewards will get any fresh sandwich for $1 all week long.
Whoa, all week long?
All week long.
I might have to get up to Round Rock then. $1 sandwich?
You'll be up there tomorrow for our Twin Peaks watch party.
That is true. I'll probably be eating the Twin Peaks food, though. I'm going to get on a snack on the way home. Stop by the 7-Eleven and get me $1 sandwich.
There you go.
You like those sandwiches? Those gas station sandwiches? They make them fresh every day, you know? It's not like, what about the salad? Should I ask you about the salad or the fruit cup? They make them every day.
I don't remember the last time I was in a 7-Eleven.
Seriously? Slurpees? Wags?
I was actually intrigued on the route out to, you know, Tahoe. I actually stopped in. It wasn't a 7-Eleven. It was a gas station convenience store. But I went to go get one of those sandwiches, and I touched it, and it was harder than a brick, man. Like the crust, the bread itself was already hard. I guess it was just from sitting underneath that heat lamp for.
And that wasn't a 7-Eleven sandwich. Yeah. That was a random gas station sandwich. I will say this about the Slurpee from 7-Eleven, as somebody who wasn't a big fan of Coca-Cola, even back in my fat days, the exception for me with Coca-Cola was the Coke Slurpee. The Coke Slurpee was delicious
still
and refreshing.
Still is delicious.
I'm sure it still is for those who
So over the last
indulge.
2 days, you have told us that you've never been to Buc-ee's and that you can't remember the last time you've been to a 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go?
What are you doing back there?
What do you do?
I mean, I've probably stopped for gas at a 7-Eleven.
You've never gone inside?
I don't need to go into the store, because I'm not usually buying things. Occasionally, I'll go in to buy water
How
if I need to purchase Advil.
How do you go on road trips and not buy snacks? Even Dallas to Austin, you got to get some snacks.
Because I have control over my appetite.
You have no control over having any fun in life, it sounds like.
Here's the thing. If I plan on being hungry during the road trip and say I'm going from Austin to Dallas, I know that the halfway point is health camp. And that anything that I could possibly buy at a convenience store at a gas station is going to pale in comparison.
How often do you go to health
to
camp?
To either the milkshake.
Either.
Or.
Either.
And.
Thank you.
The tater tots.
No burger at health camp.
Dude, we did health camp and then we had to go eat that damn steak dinner with Tom.
Yeah, at Capitol Grill in the same day within like 4 hours. That was rough. Couldn't move.
I can't do the burgers at health camp anymore. And it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that they're not delicious, because they are delicious. My problem.
What about some, like, all right, keep going.
My problem with the health camp burger is that I have PTSD from eating a health camp burger probably 15 plus years ago now. That was the burger that I ate heading back to Dallas for Texas OU weekend one year that sat in my system for 2 days until I was finally forced to puke it up. That was the burger that made me realize that I had to be careful about how I consumed red meat. And so I still suffer PTSD from that. I try to discourage what happened with me from people not going to health camp, because it's a delicious, greasy burger, and there were so many other great options there as well.
If that ever happens to me, I just can't eat red meat. Just kill me, man.
It was a sad day.
I'll have nothing to live for.
It was a sad day. You guys make fun of the fact that I eat the way that I do. Sadly, I have to do that.
You're just not tough.
I have to tough it out.
You got to put through and deal with some nights on the pot.
I wish
the 420 pot, the other pot. You just sometimes you got to make a sacrifice.
I wish it was as simple as that. If this is like Kevin Dunn trying to experiment with getting back into milk and the repercussions of that, then that would be one thing. This was literally me having a hard time doing anything because the full meal that I had eaten just stayed in my stomach for 48 hours.
Were you both ending it at all?
Huh?
Were you both ending it? Like, you know
Jeez,
what I mean? Sorry, that's
no.
real graphic, man.
No, I forced myself to throw up.
Man, if I stopped eating Taco Bell every time I messed up my stomach, then I would have stopped a long time ago. You can't quit. You're a quitter.
Trust me, this goes beyond just messing up the stomach. This was something that was not digesting.
I'm kind of there, man.
It was so unique.
Both ending is kind of like one of the worst feelings.
Can you stop saying that?
What
is?
Both ending?
Yeah, please stop that.
Both ending it.
You know,
no.
We couldn't even do.
No.
We couldn't. The power rankings I wanted to do today originally was going to be on the best munchies, because everyone can get on board with that. Right, the best things that you like to eat to munch on when you're under the influence of something. And Trey's like, yeah, I don't do that.
I don't get munchies.
He doesn't get munchies.
Neither. But see, you know that I don't either.
You guys don't eat anything?
Well, I wait until the effect's over, because I feel like you're wasting the effect.
Yes. Need some different stuff then.
And this has always been the case for me, too. Even back when I was fat.
That's impossible. And I would smoke weed.
That's
impossible.
Dude, it isn't. For whatever reason, it's always been an appetite suppressant for me.
I'm there with him. Maybe we are outliers and anomalies. I don't know.
You guys are weird, man. All right.
So instead, we're doing favorite stoner figures.
Favorite
and this can
stoner
be
figures.
Real life or from
movie
film,
characters. Yeah.
TV. Hell, maybe even music.
An impossible list to get to. All right, but before that, we do have to get to our man Wags, who I'm not even using the phrase he just used three times. That guy's gross back there, but it is Tinder time.
Sponsor!
Jeez. Altstadt Beer is sponsoring Tinder time and not the last 5 minutes of this program. Altstadt Beer, the best beer you can find in Central Texas. Get you some for the spring. All your spring activities and festivities here in the 512. It's Altstadt Beer. No impurities, no regrets.
The German beer, so good. A Jewish guy is happy to endorse them. Wags, what is the first headline in today's Tender Time?
Astros lock up Bregman, agreed a 5 years, $100 million extension.
Swipe right.
Swipe right.
And it's what they needed to do, guys. Get ahead of some of their young talent. They got Altuve coming up. They got Correa coming up. This is one of the big bets that they had to lock up before he was able to get to arbitration. So they avoid that. 5 years, $100 million. Looks like a big, big signing for the Houston Astros, locking in one of their big bats.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the second longest pre-arbitration contract ever signed. The first was Mike Trout when he signed his last contract, 6 years, $144 million. And now he just signed 12 for 430 mil. I don't know if Alex Bregman's ever going to get to that level. But it's a big get for the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
He's a cornerstone. He's one of their best players. He plays lockdown defense at third base. He's gotten better every year he's been in the league, and he's only 24. He's about to turn 25, so this will be his age 25 season. But one of the best young players, and really best players in the entire game of baseball.
Guys, we saw this with Arenado now with the Rockies. We're seeing this with the Astros, with Bregman. Is this type of the formula to follow in suit now, but to not allow some of your big players and big names to get to arbitration?
Yeah, and this has been going on for several years now as well. We've seen the Rangers do this a couple of times. Most recently, I believe, with Leclerc, the reliever, who was great for them down the stretch last year. They also did that with Rougned Odor and also Elvis Andrus at one point. And this is also the second largest deal in Astros franchise history, trailing only Jose Altuve and the five-year, $151 million extension he signed last year. So congrats to Alex Bregman, won the team's first All-Star Game MVP in franchise history, and he has been a cornerstone for this team, literally, as this team's starting third baseman, playing an excellent brand of defense, but also with how good he is at the plate as well, leading the league last year in doubles with 51.
Yeah, Astros are going to be really, really good again, and for the short term there, they've still got a ton of their pieces locked up for the next couple of years, so they will continue to contend in the American League. All right, let's quit it right there. Let's make sure we give ourselves time to get through these power rankings. Coming up next, it's our Wednesday power ranking segment. And yes, because it's episode 420, it will be 420 themed. Our favorite movie or real life stoners in the history of history. Plus, at noon, we will talk to Justin Wells of Inside Texas back into the Texas Longhorn conversation. Talk a little NIT, but you know how it is with Jay Wells. We'll talk a ton of spring football and recruiting for the Longhorns. That's coming up at noon, right here, midday, with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
Reefers.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, celebrating our 420th episode by playing stoner-themed music. That includes Sublime, and I'm pretty sure I could sing just about every lyric from this song. Love Sublime, 40 Ounces to Freedom. BK, you a big fan of that album?
Great album.
Cool.
Great album. I haven't delved into Sublime probably as much as I should have, but everything I've listened to from them I like, and this is far and away the best album that at least I've found of their catalog.
It's a top fiver for me, and I'm not saying it's one of the five best albums of all time, but it's one of the top five albums that made a profound impact on my life.
When did this come out? Like, were you college? A little after college?
No, because he died in the mid-90s. Bradley Noel is the he that I'm referring to there. He was the lead singer of Sublime, and I feel like I really got into that album in like the late 90s or early 2000s. So it would have been several years after its release. I think that album came out in around 94.
Okay.
Maybe even a little bit before that.
The year I was born. Good year.
Good year,
right.
Indeed.
It is Wednesday. It is 11:45, which means it's time for our midday power rankings bit that we do every Wednesday on this program. And in the lead, because we do keep track of things, because everything's a sport. We don't do prizes for everybody here at this station.
No participation trophies.
We don't do that here on this show. So sorry, parents of small children. Maybe you should learn something from us and follow. Nah, I'm not telling you how to be a parent. But I did win last week again, and I've retaken the lead on this program with four victories.
I was obsolete, though.
You get an asterisk for last week's victory.
For what?
For including Shaquille O'Neal on the list. Shaquille O'Neal in his most enjoyable time was not fat.
Are you kidding me? That is the worst. That's not an asterisk. Shaquille O'Neal was more than 300 pounds. Guy is fat.
He was big boned.
That is fat.
He was huge in Phoenix.
He was
huge in Boston. He was huge.
He was huge his whole career.
Boston.
And then he really
yeah, he went to Boston ballooned too.
Dude, at the end.
That's what I'm saying. The enjoyable.
He's my favorite. I didn't say the best. He was my favorite. I enjoyed him more.
Shaq,
nope.
Enjoyable Shaq.
That's what
was
he was
not
doing his
fat
dance
Shaq.
At the All-Star game. The twerking. That was at the end of his career.
The Beyonce or the Warren Sapp?
He's so fat.
It's like, saying your favorite fat rapper is DMX because he ended up fat years after he was relevant.
Was DMX
musically
300 pounds when he was in his prime?
Dude,
no.
Yes.
No. No asterisk.
This prime counts as getting arrested in Arizona.
It's on my computer anyways. I decide if the Shift 8 button is used, and it's not being used here. So we're done with this. Wags has three. You have two. Spoken like a true last place person. Two with two asterisks.
I didn't compete last week.
Well, sorry. Sam should have picked
Loser.
Better.
It was Patrick. No, Patrick should have picked better because he did get third place.
Sorry,
so I got
PD.
Another second place, baby.
Congrats. All right.
Thanks, Patrick.
It's episode 420 today, as you probably know, and as Trey just mentioned. So we are going with our favorite stoners of all time.
This was a surprisingly difficult list, BK.
Very, very difficult. Well, we opened it up. At first, we were like, just real people. Just real people. No movie characters, no TV show characters, like just the actual person themselves. And then we're like, ah, screw it. Why not? It's 420. So we
I feel like in retrospect, we should have made it one or the other.
You're probably right. But we included everything. So the real people, the actors, the characters that they play in TV shows and movies that could be musicians, whoever, just our favorite stoners in the history of stonering, if that's a word. We will start with Wags. Adam, it is your turn to go first, sir. You know the drill. 5-1, and of course we will tweet these out during the next break so you can vote. But Wags, give us your list.
I went with all hypothetical characters here, movie characters. I just felt like if I went with real-time people that I'd like to smoke with, it would just, like you said, the list is long and extensive, too hard, and just...
That's your strategy. It's going to be a losing strategy, but that's your strategy.
Well, I mean, I had to go with hypothetical characters, fun people that we would like that we can all relate to.
Sure.
And you know, we'll see. We'll see how well this cultured list goes. Number 5, Thurgood Jenkins. We all know Mr. Nice Guy, aka Mr.
Sure.
Nice Guy there. Thurgood
Dave
Jenkins,
Chappelle
Dave
character.
Chappelle character that we reviewed from Half Baked. And then how about Spicoli? This is Jeff Spicoli, a character we haven't reviewed yet in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the Amy Heckerling classic, if you will, from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And, Spicoli, he's got the, hey, bud, let's party. You know, no shoes, no shirt, no problem. A classic 80s hippie, if you will. And then
Sean Penn.
Got to have Watterson from Dazed and Confused. Matthew McConaughey's character. I get older, they stay the same age. And then Mersh.
You're a lot cooler.
I hope a lot of people understand this character, Mersh from PCU, Jake Busey, who
you are aiming for an L this week, man.
Mersh from
PCU is a great. I love the movie. I thought that was a great character.
I thought he actually stole a lot of scenes Jake Busey did in that movie.
You know what? You're making a good point here, Wags. As somebody who has an esoteric sense of humor, I like what you're doing there.
Guy knows how to carve and everything, man. Yeah, so it's Jake Busey. Got to check that out. And then, of course, the iconic The Dude from The Big Lebowski. This guy, I mean, say what you want. I mean, he writes a check for 73 cents so he can get his half and half at the grocery store. And beyond that, the rug really tied the room together. He puts a door stop the wrong way so that they can get in. But the door is a pull out instead of a push out. I mean, this guy, and to top it off, he's never smoking his own stuff. He's always got somebody's roach or just something that he finds in the bottom of his seat in his car or whatever.
The dude's
you gotta
a classic.
Have the dude. But that's my top 5.
All right.
Your turn, sir.
Starting out, I'll just warn you right now that mine is 4 real people and 1 fictional character.
Okay.
So we're starting out with, he's one of the OGs in terms of stoner figures. Maybe not as OG as Willie Nelson, but he's up there. Going all the way back to the 1990s, Snoop Dogg, number 5 on my list. Nothing more needs to be said about that one. Number 4 is The Dude from The Big Lebowski, my favorite stoner character from all time.
Yeah, well, that's just like your opinion, man.
There you go.
Nice fool.
Number 3, my all-time favorite college football player turned cannabis advocate. He is Ricky Williams.
Number 3?
Number 3.
I'm surprised that he's that low on your list.
I'll explain why.
Okay.
Number 2 is Willie Nelson. Because you got to give props to the original. And yes, he is one of the originals when it comes to...
The first person to smoke weed ever, Willie Nelson.
When it comes to well-known potheads. It's him and it's Cheech and Chong. I'm not as big on Cheech and Chong as a lot of people are, but I do love me some Willie Nelson. And Willie Nelson is not only about that. He also makes really good music, has a beautiful voice to boot, but he's also somebody who is a cannabis advocate. And the number one for me... Because not only does this dude look like he's stoned all the time, but also he was responsible for one of the all-time great stoner comedies. And when I'm indulging on certain things, I really love watching him hone his craft. That is Dave Chappelle.
That's a good list right there. That might be a winner. That might be a winner right there for Trey, a rare one, and one without an asterisk as well.
I'll concede to that.
I almost like his list more than my list. All right, number five.
Can you imagine if you got to smoke with all those people, though?
Just one of those people would be absolutely incredible. And this was tough. There's a lot of notable omissions from this one from all of our lists, I'm sure. Number five, I went with Carl Spackler. Just Bill Murray's character in Caddyshack.
Good call.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere, former groundskeeper, now about to become
cannibal,
the master's
cannibal,
champion.
Cannibal,
it's in the hole. He's number five for me.
He was growing a little something in the shack at night. You saw when Chevy Chase had to play through.
Oh, yeah. Number four for me is the dude as well. I don't think I need to explain that, the dude from the Big Lebowski. Number three, I went with the legendary, one of the OGs, Bob Marley.
Oh.
Big fan of Bob Marley's music, even though it was well before my time. He died well before I was born.
Huge omission by me. I wish I'd put him in instead of the dude.
But Bob Marley makes the cut for me at number three. Number two, I went Ricky Williams there. Mm-hmm. Favorite, you know, I love sports. Big sports guy. Favorite athlete, weed smoker of all time. So I had to throw them in there.
The dude quit the NFL for a year to go smoke weed and have an adventure in the outback in Australia.
He changed his name. Like that, you know, you're smoking a lot of weed when you change your name to Rio Don. Yeah, that's he's high on my list for me. And number one for me was your number five, Snoop D-O-double-G, Snoop Doggy Dogg. He's just one of my favorite rappers of all time and just a legend. And he's known for his love for cannabis, always has been, always will be. And everything that that guy does, I think, is hilarious or awesome. And or awesome, he is my number one favorite stoner of all time. All right, I will tweet those out from the Horn ATX. You can go vote on which of your lists are the favorite, and we'll take your thoughts as well. Specs text line 337-3776 in honor of this being episode 420 for the award-winning midday program. We're also 1 month away from 420 itself. So go vote on that, and we'll take your thoughts as well on text and Twitter. But coming up next, our man, Justin Welsh of Inside Texas, will join the program. We'll get his list, and we'll also talk some Texas Longhorn football. On the other side, Trey and BK, this is The Horn.